This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. We've been talking about social media for a number of weeks now, from what I can remember. And today, though, I think this is probably the most interesting social media story that we've had for a long time, because last week we spoke about social media that is only for one particular individual that you want to connect with, and we just thought that was absolutely ridiculous. This is taking it to another step altogether. This is called Botnet, and what it does, it actually allows you to live a life like a social media celebrity, in where thousands and hundreds of followers would, jump onto any photo, any kind of comments, any kind of status updates that you give and praise you. It is something that was created by Billy Chasen, who was wondering what it would be like to be famous on the internet. He helped create Chartbeat, which is an analytics service that's used by many journalists, and Turntable.fm, which is one of the best internet music community. But he's always been wondering, how would it be like to be famous on the internet? So what he did was, he created this social network called Botnet, which is free for anyone to use, and you can download it as an app. And it looks like a stripped-down version of the Facebook newsfeed, where you can see your own posts and only your own posts, but you have thousands of bots who will jump onto your status updates and give you really good comments. Matt, you've downloaded this app, haven't you?
I did. I downloaded it, I think, yesterday, and it's really weird. I mean, it's really fun to use, and I just, put up a couple of pictures to begin with, and it's weird. You see the likes instantly blossoming, going up by tens of thousands in minutes, and it is a little bit overwhelming, even though that it's all fake. But seeing those numbers go up is really, really strange. It gives you a very strange sensation. In terms of the comments, it is kind of case sensitive. So when I put the pictures in, there are just a lot of the generic, fire type emojis, and there tend not to be that many comments, sort of 7 or 8. When you type something in, it responds to keywords in whatever you've put in, and you do start to get a lot more comments, and they start to get, some of them are, just the kind of silly, ridiculous jumbles of words. It's like, oh, I like cats, you are a cat, so let's be cats today. That kind of comment that makes absolutely no sense at all. But I actually opted to pay the 4 ringgit that allows you to have trolls come onto your feed. I don't know why I've paid to be to get myself insulted, but that is really funny. So then when you start to put in words like Trump, borders, virus, immigration, any of those kind of more contentious type topics, you actually get trolls that theme it to the topic, which is really interesting and really scary at the same time, because we see this happening on our social media feeds, and now you can start to see how easy it is for bots to come in and appear to be genuine commentators and to kind of inflame the debate ever further.
And it's not like, any other social media platforms, are just full of humans and no bots whatsoever. But this is just really all about how bots interact with our kind of, especially for text. As you mentioned, anything that you post that is on text gets a lot more response than a photo, because I think a photo is a lot harder for, especially when it comes to machine learning and artificial intelligence, understanding what a photo means. There are only very few individuals who've kind of cracked it. Currently, Botnet has about 20,000 human users, and the founder actually says about 600 of them have actually taken the same path as you have, which is paying for that 99¢, US cents extra for the troll bot option, which is very strange. But I'm going to download this and try it out, because
No, you should. You should try it. But, you know, one of the options is that you can pay that same fee to have dad jokes on the feed. So somebody coming on and making really bad out of context jokes. Why would anyone want that? I mean, the trolls thing is fun, but, you know, anyone who listens to any of the shows I'm on is probably upset at the sad jokes I tell. So why would you pay for somebody to be a me on your feed?
It is very strange that someone has created this, but yet it is also very interesting because, you know, even for his intentions to create Botnet, it wasn't really like a test or a study or whatsoever. He just wanted to create a space where people could post whatever they wanted and get this kind of celebrity attention, level of attention, which is, you know, it's not like the best answer in the world, but it's just very straightforward. Well,
it's kind of the kind of ultimate step in isolation culture, isn't it? That now we can even belong to a social network that makes us the star without actually interacting with anyone. It's, you know, really weird. It's like taking the reinforcement bubble to a whole different dimension by having you not have to interact with any human being at all, but still being incredibly popular.
And he says the bots won't judge you. So, you know, it's a feel-good
social
media. Well,
they judged me when I opted for trolling. I can't even repeat most of the things that the trolls said on radio.
Go and check it out. It's called Botnet. It's available on the Apple App Store, and also I think it's available on the Google Play.
It's on Android as well, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be right back with King of Culture and more after this, BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, mixtapes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sanduk. And what do we have for King of Culture?
We have subscriptions. I was actually meaning to do this sort of closer to the start of the year, but we keep having other things come up, so I've kept postponing it. So it's basically time to do, I think, a bit of an audit to all of those services that you subscribe to. I've been putting it off for ages and ages and ages, because there are lots of those things that we just say, yeah, you know, I'll do that. Oh, it's just one US dollar. It's just this. And you can end up subscribing to dozens of these things that you forget about. So I've been to my PayPal, been back through my credit card statements, been back through my bank statements, looking at the one-off payments, because I think at the beginning of the year, I'd forgotten about a big renewable payment that came out that was like $130 for a service that I don't use anymore, and I'd assumed that the credit card details they had, it wasn't an auto renew. I did get in touch with them and they did agree to refund me the money. I was very lucky in that instance, but I think we can all get caught out by not keeping track of these subscriptions. And just as an interesting kind of divergence from this or corollary to this, there was another service that I subscribed to this week. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not promoting the service particularly. But at the bottom of their subscription page, their pricing page, they had a little tab that said, message us and we'll do a deal. And I found that really, really cool because it's a project management software, and I'd been looking at lots of alternatives to it, and most of them tend to start around $60 a month. I got this service for 17 ringgit a month. I actually got the year for 170 ringgit, whereas each month on these other services is around 250 ringgit. And it was really nice to have that approach. A customer service person got in touch with me, made me kind of various offers and options that really slashed the pricing even further. And it was just nice to have that interaction with people and to get that feeling that you were getting a good deal rather than just getting, you know, whatever variable or dynamic pricing had been decided by an algorithm at that particular moment. So, yeah, have a look at your subscriptions. Have a look at alternate services for the things that you are subscribing to and see if any of them are willing to do deals with you and do lower prices than they're actually quoting on their websites. Because it had never really occurred to me before that you could just contact customer services and say, do it cheaper for me.
Mm. Did you just diss the future leaders of our world, algorithms?
Yes, I did. I've already lost one finger to a can opener.
All right. Moving on, though, the start of 2020 hasn't been great. And we've lost another, you know, individual who's really crafted a whole space in terms of science and technology and how we interact with the world. And his name was Freeman Dyson, who passed away just last week at the age of 96. And he was one of the foremost physicists of our generation. And, you know, he wrote numerous articles and books. He contributed for New Yorker from 1970s to 1980s. He was a frequent contributor of the New York Review of Books. He also wrote a handful of articles for MIT Technology Review, which is a site that we both log into quite often, including a two-part series about his role in World War II. So I thought to honor all of the achievements that he's done, I'm going to play you a clip of an interview that he did, which is about 2 minutes long. So have a listen to this.
I had this skill with mathematical tools, and I played these tools as well as I could, just because it was beautiful, just as rather in the same way a musician plays the violin, not expecting to change the world, but just because he loves the instrument. My name is Freeman Dyson, and I'm a professor retired at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton. And when I was a young kid, I used to scribble big numbers and draw pictures of the solar system. So obviously, I was interested right from the start. I think the decisive moment in my career path was reading the book Men of Mathematics by Eric Temple Bell. He showed the mathematicians as being mostly crooks and people of very mixed kind of qualities, not at all saints, many of them quite unscrupulous and not very clever. And still, they managed to do great mathematics. So it told the kid that if they can do it, why can't you? And that was certainly what turned me on. I came from England to the United States to study physics. I applied to Cornell University to work with Hans Bethe, who is a famous physicist. But the amazing thing was, in the very first week I was there, I met Dick Feynman, who is an absolute genius. And of course, I'd never even heard of him. He was not so famous in those days. But I immediately realized this was the guy. And he was such a tremendous, just sparkling character, a clown and always telling stories. And in addition to that, very brilliant. And so I attached myself to Feynman as quickly as I could. He was working on these problems of quantum electrodynamics. And he had done a great deal, which was very beautiful, but which nobody else understood. And he loved to talk, and I loved to listen. So within 6 months, I'd pretty well mastered his language. And within 1 year, I actually was able to improve on it. And I translated his ideas into mathematics, and so it became more accessible to the world. And as a result, I became famous. But it all happened within about 6 months.
So yeah, that was Freeman Dyson doing an interview a couple of years ago.
And of course, you know, there are a lot of things that are named after Dyson. One of the things that we've mentioned on the show numerous times over the years is the Dyson sphere, which is this idea of a kind of sphere that encompasses pretty much a planet to generate energy from the sun. So we really have lost a very kind of creative and original thinker. So in Freeman Dyson. Mm.
Especially since, you know, his love for space goes way above beyond than any one of us. So yeah, let's talk about TikTok. Now, I don't think me and Matt are experts in TikTok. Are you an expert in TikTok, Matt?
Not an expert. I have posted on there once or twice as, old man in sheep's clothing.
Well, I at least, you know, that makes you more advanced than I am. I've never posted a video on TikTok, but apparently on TikTok there's this new trend that's coming up, and that is the obsession with fake luxury products. And this is basically, you know, teens who can't afford the, you know, the expensive jewelry that most of the social media celebrities are, you know, posting on their OOTDs and stuff. These are teens who are either creating stuff on their own with all these brand names slapped onto whatever they're wearing, or actually buying fake products on Amazon or other kind of sites and putting up there. And it's causing a trend where more and more of these teens who can't afford, you know, $20,000-$30,000 kind of items, they're buying this stuff for less than $20, and it's becoming a huge trend. So counterfeits on social media platforms are on the rise yet again.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is the kind of difference in generations, because this is a generation that celebrates these things that look authentic but aren't authentic. Whereas when you look at kind of my generation and the Gen Y as well, by and large, authenticity was always the key. If it was found out that what you had was a copy or a fake, you know, that was instant social ridicule. But that's kind of flipped on its head completely in this instance. But I think there's an interesting passage in the article that you sent me, which is that, you know, this is the most photographed generation ever. And they run out of clothes and jewelry to differentiate those posts really, really quickly. So it doesn't make sense to buy what we've always been advised to do, which is, you know, have a capsule wardrobe, go for quality and price, and just have a few items and rotate them. These guys want the quantity, but they also want the labels. And, you know, we're also starting to see people creating their own mashups of labels again, which is something, you know, you used to see when you walked around the Pasar Malam markets in Malaysia, where you'd see Timberland boots with Louis Vuitton logos all over them. You know, all of these improbable and impossible crossovers. And we're starting to see, you know, people doing this for themselves again.
You know, this is a tricky time again for brands, because, you know, ever since the dawn of counterfeit products, it's always been a question, you know, do they step up and, you know, do they send like a cease and desist letter and, you know, make sure that no counterfeits products and close all these kind of manufacturers that are doing it. But in the hindsight, it's also, you know, allowing the people who can't actually buy their products to also know a little bit about the brand and be, you know, fans of the brand. So they're in a very sticky situation. And then now there's platforms who might be at risk as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at the case of 3D printing, to bring that up yet again, as 3D printing sort of increases the number of materials that can that those machines can actually work with, we're going to see more and more of this kind of counterfeiting. I mean, one of the examples used was a Chanel ring. Now, people are going to be able to scan those things and make those things at home, probably within, you know, the next kind of decade or so. So it is going to be it's going to be very difficult, I think, for brands to keep up with and protect their own intellectual property in this kind of new economic environment.
Mm. And it's also not very clear yet what TikTok's official policy is on this. They currently just don't allow any promotion of services that violate copyright, trademark, privacy, publicity, or other kind of personal and proprietary rights. So, you know, if you're just posting up an image of you wearing a counterfeit product but not actually selling it, you know, it's not really in TikTok's jurisdiction to shut it down and close it down. So yeah, very sticky situations. What do we have for Geek Tunes, Matt?
In keeping with the slightly nautical theme of our VR fishes in this week's MSP, I thought we'd choose a fishy song to go with it for today's Geek Tune. This is an old one. This is March Into the Sea by Modest Mouse.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.